أو
whatever be,
تطورت وسائل الجمع
whatever they develop
الفني
in speed,
للمعلومات
whatever the
لا
means
يمكن
be
أن
to gather
تستغني عن
intelligence
تنصي
information,
البشر.
they cannot, of course, abandon the human spying. There is some way whereby the technology cannot solve everything. So the Israelis are in need of human espionage. Before the July 2006 war, the spies who are being uncovered nowadays, especially those who were spies before the July 2006 war, those people gave very important information to the Israeli enemy. And based upon this information, buildings were destroyed, houses were destroyed and bombarded, factories, centers, institutions, different areas, different places were bombed, and many martyrs fell, and many people were also wounded and injured. What does this mean? This means that these spies, they are partners in killing. They are partners in the murder, in the crime. They are partners in the destruction. They are partners in forcing people to flee their homes. All the crimes which were committed by the Zionist entity in July 2006, every single crime, those spies have a role played in it. They are partners in these crimes. Now, before the war, they gave information about places, about individuals, even about normal individuals. Who does this house belong to? Who does this shop belong to? Who does this underground shelter belong to? Who does this institution belong to? Details, detailed information was given to the Israelis. Everything related to the resistance and to the army and to the state, the telecommunications, everything which was requested from the spies was given to the Israelis. And all the information they got was provided to the Israeli side. This is something which nobody could argue against, nobody can debate. We cannot say that any spy hid information and gave other information. No, all the information they had was given to the Israelis. They gave all the information they possessed. Now, during the war, in July 2006, those spies who remained and were uncovered, of course, some of the spies left the country, some were arrested, and some remained. Even during the war, they gave services, direct services, to the enemy. And based upon these services, certain areas or certain buildings which were not decided, which were not part of the bank of targets for the Israelis, became part of the bank of targets. And those people committed an even bigger crime, those spies who gave information during the war. Before the war, this spy might say, I was getting money and so I gave them this information. But some gave this information right in the midst of the war when they were witnessing houses and buildings being destroyed. In the midst of all this, they gave the information to the enemy. And after the war, of course, during the war, as you know, the bank of targets was exhausted by the Israelis. And because they didn't have any remaining targets, they struck the same target once and twice and three times just for the sake of bombardment. And certain houses and buildings were destroyed for no reason, just because they had to bombard some specific place. Now, after the war, they wanted to renew the bank of targets. So they reinvigorated these spying cells and these spies, and they continued with these steps. This is one area. There is another area in espionage, and many of these spies got involved in this area, many of them who were uncovered, and many who have not been uncovered are still practicing this specific type of espionage, and some confessed to this, and the Israelis actually told them to create divisions. So what I'm trying to say is that certain spies were designated with the task of creating internal divisions, internal tension. They were requested to, for example, bring about or create disagreements between the Amal movement and Hezbollah, creating divisions inside Lebanon. And of course, we overcame these problems a long time ago. But years ago, some years ago, a problem arose in one specific village. It turned out that a spy was behind it. At that time, me and Parliament Speaker Nabih Berri, we were very sensitive and we formed a joint committee because it was a small disagreement. But it ended with heavy arms being used. Usually sticks are used, normal handguns, machine guns, but in the end we saw RPG, missiles, heavy arms, and it was discovered after that that a spy was behind this, a spy who is now arrested. He said he took this step, he tried to create these divisions because Israel requested him to do so. These spies were requested to create tension wherever they could in the country between Shia and Shia, Lebanese and Lebanese, Druzi and Druzi, Druze against Druze, in the sects, conflicts between sects, conflicts between especially Sunni and Shia. So they were designated, they were told to go ahead with such tasks, and the resistance was first and foremost targeted. Resistance was focused on primarily, and the Israelis know very well that any internal instability and any internal conflict from the Israeli perspective, and in reality as well, this is service to the enemy, it's beneficial for the enemy, regardless of the responsibility of any side inside Lebanon. And now the Israelis, and this is what I'm going to go back to in due course, now the Israelis who stand incapable in face of the resistance and its determination and its solidarity and its firmness and its readiness, what do these Israelis depend on now? They depend on another Israeli plan, which is the International Tribunal for Rafik Hariri. They are preparing for this. They are preparing for a certain development in this regard in the next few months. Gabi Ashkenazi says we have to wait until September. In September, Lebanon will witness internal tensions. They are depending on such internal tensions. Israel always used to strive to create divisions inside Lebanon so Lebanese would be preoccupied with conflicts against one another, so Lebanese would be preoccupied with conflicts with the Palestinians, so Palestinians would be preoccupied with conflicts amongst themselves, so that the Zionist entity and the Zionist project remains safe, secure, living in an environment where people have turned against each other, which leaves the Zionist entity safe, living in an environment where everyone is crushed and only the Zionists are safe. This is what the Zionists depended on. The spies used to play these roles, creating these divisions, turning people against one another. In the last few years, the number of spies in Lebanon increased, notably increased. I don't want to speak about 2005 and afterwards, no. 2005 and before, maybe, because we have discovered that there are spies which go back to 1996, 1994. This is what we have discovered. But there is no doubt that the last 5 years, specifically ever since 2004 and beyond, the number of spies increased notably, astonishingly. And this has reasons. There are reasons behind this. We want to mention the reasons to address this matter, to tackle this issue, not to fill up time only. The first reason is they felt safe. The spies, the espionage cells, felt safe. And they feel that they are not being hunted down. They feel that nobody is trying to arrest them, especially in the last couple of years. How can someone be a spy for 16 years without being uncovered, 15 years without being arrested, 20 years without being arrested? It means they feel safe when they continue with these spying activities for these long years. It means they're safe, they're covering themselves well, and nobody has them under suspicion. The fact that the spies feel safe, this increases the number of spies. Second of all, the second reason is the judicial process. The judiciary in Lebanon takes this issue lightly. The verdicts which were made before 2004 and which came after 2004, the verdicts against these spies, now, if someone becomes a spy and gives Israel information and they're given $100,000 and build a house and own a company in Lebanon and in Austria and then Belgium and they go on holidays to Thailand and to Turkey, etc., etc., at the end, if they are uncovered, they are arrested and put in prison for 1 or 2 years. Is that a big problem? 1 or 2 years? Of course, there's also a third element. encouragement. When the judiciary takes this issue lightly, that also increases the number of spies. The third reason is the environment, which encourages spying activities. This means who? We begin with those who find that there is no problem if their son or their husband or their teacher in university or their soldier or their army officer or their mayor or their journalist has any relations with Israel. They say, what's the problem if my colleague or my son or husband has relations with Israel? They continue when they even strive to protect their spy. They say a spy is not a big problem, it's not a big crime. And they reach the level whereby spying is a point of view, is an alternative, is a choice we can take in our conflict with Israel. And so as you have relations with Syria, yes, others have relations with Israel. This is how some people view the situation. This environment of encouragement is one of the most dangerous factors which allowed for the increasing number of spies. And especially the environment which might view Israel as a normal neighboring state or could view Israel as a future ally or someone who could help them in difficult times. These reasons need to be tackled. Anyway, in the last 2 years, this file was reinvigorated. This issue was reinvigorated. Why? I don't want to answer now because I want to leave some issues for future speeches. But regardless of any background, regardless of any intention, what occurred in the last 2 years is good. We don't want to hold anyone accountable for their intentions. Their intentions might be good, they might not be so good. But regardless of the intentions, what happened in the last 2 years concerning hunting down spies was good. The efforts in the last 2 years were good efforts. And the opening of this issue was also something necessary. The Lebanese security services did its utmost efforts, and we thank the services, the security services, for this. And I expressed this stance before. I repeat it. I would like to express my thanks to the Lebanese Army Intelligence, the Internal Security Services, the General Security. We appreciate all efforts from whatever security services it may come. You know, in the country now, there is an attempt to accuse and to label a specific security service in accordance with political affiliation. But regardless of political affiliation, we thank all security services. We and all the Lebanese thank the security services for these efforts. A number of those arrested were transferred to the judiciary, and some verdicts have came out, and some of these verdicts were good verdicts. And within this context, I would like to conclude with a few points before I speak about the spies in the telecommunications sector. First of all, we call to implement, we call for implementation of the verdicts of execution which were made without any hesitation. Verdicts of execution should be implemented and the death penalty should be implemented without any delay. One of the crowd saying that our martyrs will be safe and will be relieved in their graves once this penalty is fulfilled and implemented. I must also here thank the stance taken by the Lebanese president, Michel Suleiman, who announced that he would sign any decree which calls for implementing the death penalty, any decree which is sent to him by the judiciary. So we thank President Suleiman for this stance. In this specific issue, in this specific point, I would like to say something. Do we have this atmosphere in the country? Do we not have it? Regardless, let me point out to it. Concerning spies, we all said that these spies do not belong to a specific religious sect or a religion or to a specific family. It's the end. When someone becomes a spy for Israel, he belongs to the enemy. The enemy of this religious sect, the enemy of these people, the enemy of the whole ummah. And we must act with him accordingly.
بالملاحقات الأمنية بتمنى
in the security services nobody should make 6 plus 6 6 meaning that if we arrest a Shia person if we arrest a spy from the Shia sect if there's a second Shia suspect let's leave him alone and let's look for a Sunni suspect or look for a Maronite suspect or a Druze suspect to make a religious balance in the arrests because this is somewhat occurring now and it should not occur no and if we arrest a Maronite spy or a Christian spy let's look them for a Muslim spy to create a balance sectarian balance this is unacceptable this is not the way to preserve the security of Lebanon now I'm not sure if this is occurring but I do feel it is somewhat occurring a spy is a spy
90% يكونوا من العملاء شيعة
even if 90% of the spies are Shia and 10% are from the other religious sects of course this will not happen but what's the problem let's assume this is the case there's no problem 90% Shia regardless spies must be arrested and must be punished in accordance with the crimes they have committed and the same goes for the verdicts Of course, until now, according to my information, the death penalty verdict was given to a suspect from the Druze religious sect. And also, death penalty was given to a verdict, of course, of death penalty was given to a Shia person. So do we wait to give the verdicts? Do we wait until we have a Sunni, an Orthodox, an Armenian, a Shia, a Sunni, until we begin with actually implementing these verdicts? No, I call for implementing the verdicts, the death penalty verdicts, against all people, regardless of their religious affiliation, as soon as possible, because this puts a halt to this illogical, to this unacceptable and very dangerous increase in number of spy cells and spy individuals. So continue with the arrest of the spies and continue with the judicial proceedings and continue, don't hesitate with implementing the verdicts. Don't hesitate due to sectarian reasons. And there is no cover for anyone. Nobody is safe when it comes to spying. Nobody should be excused. The second point concerning the families, the families of a spy must not be insulted. The mothers, the fathers, the brothers, the sisters. There are certain households where we saw spies, but these same households had resistance fighters, have martyrs. The families are honorable families, families of jihad, of sacrifice. But a certain member of this family, a certain son or daughter, his mind or her mind was controlled by the devil and he went and strayed on this path. This is normal and in history we've witnessed similar situations. This happened during the days of the prophets. The sons are very honorable people throughout history. When a family, of course, has a certain spy in it, this is not the responsibility of the family. The family should not be punished. The importance also of a campaign, a national Lebanese campaign on all levels so the spies don't feel secure. This is also something of utmost importance. What is most important of all is to cancel out this environment of encouragement. Not us, those who are encouraging must put an end to this. Otherwise, they will be partners in what these spies are committing. Their protection for these spies makes them partners in all the crimes. In the last issue, the spies in the telecommunications sector. Now concerning the telecommunications sector and the spies who were uncovered in this sector and specifically in the Alpha Telecommunications Network Company, two were announced formally today, in the past few days, and today we also heard that a former employee in the Alpha Telecommunications Network was also arrested. And this is something which is extremely dangerous, and because it is extremely dangerous, I want to speak briefly about it in two areas. The first area is the telecommunications network itself and the telecommunications network of the resistance, our telecommunications network. I'm not opening old files just for the sake of opening them, no. In order to remind ourselves of what happened, to learn lessons for the future. The second issue I'll speak about is Shurb al-Azzi and the other spies who were apprehended from the Alpha telecommunications network. Now, first subject. Undoubtedly, it has become clear to all Lebanese people, to all Lebanese officials, that the Israelis have complete control over everything, all telecommunications in Lebanon, the mobile telecommunications, the landline telecommunications, in addition to all cordless communications. Israel is controlled by the espionage, the internet. Now, currently, the Lebanese must know and must take precautionary measures. And those who speak a lot about their personal information on the telephone must be cautious. Be aware that the whole country is under Israeli oversight. The Israelis can hear everything, and based upon what they hear, they make decisions, and they get a lot of information. They get a lot from their control on the telecommunications sector in Lebanon. What also has been uncovered, and this also is something which is undoubtful, this Israeli control on telecommunications in Lebanon is nothing new. It's not 1 or 2 years old. It's very old. These spies who were uncovered, how long have they been working with the Alpha Network? For how long have they been spies? For how long have they been giving the Israelis all this information from 1996, 97, and 98? Meaning, when the Israelis went to the war in July 2006, they were laying the foundations for this war. Now they wanted to wage the war in September 2006, October, or in 2007. Of course, at that time we took the Israeli soldiers captive, and the timing of the war changed, and the Israelis were laying the foundations for the war, and they considered that they controlled all telecommunications in the country. Why, in all of the battles which we fought against the Israelis, even in July 2006, the Israelis did not strike the mobile network? Why? Because the mobile network was providing the Israelis with information about people, information about centers, about buildings. For this reason, the Israelis did not strike the mobile networks in Lebanon. And so our brothers and our leaders in the resistance, also the late Ahmad Bougniye, when we spoke about communications, our brothers said, of course, the Israelis won't strike the mobile network. They said, if they destroy all communications, the mobile network will stay intact and will be able to use it, because the Israelis won't strike the mobile network. They control and they use it for information. The mistake which was committed by the Israelis before July 2006 is they took the telecommunications network of resistance too lightly. Our own private network, they took it lightly. They didn't know we had a telecommunications network of this importance, our own Hezbollah's telecommunications network. Of course, they had incomplete information. I'd like to once again say they have incomplete information because we are immune to Israeli violation. We are immune to Israeli penetration to our telecommunications network. And so one of the most important surprises in July 2006, one of the most important surprises, and the Vinograd Committee also recognized this, not just me. Of course, the Vinograd did not speak about telecommunications in detail, but they spoke about control and leadership and chain of command. How could the resistance have this chain of command? How could it command? How could it issue orders? How could it issue orders when to launch rockets, when not to launch rockets? This was a question which was asked by the Vinograd Committee. We did not use landlines, we did not use the mobile network, we did not use the internet, we did not use any other means. So how did we issue orders? How did we communicate with one another? When the second Qana massacre occurred, if you remember, on that specific day, an agreement was reached that there would be 48 hours of a ceasefire, a humanitarian ceasefire, for people to gather their martyrs and their wounded from our side and from their side. Now, the whole world was surprised. All those who have military expertise were very surprised. How could the resistance during 48 hours, how were they able to implement this ceasefire? Because their fighters are all over the area, in the valleys, in the mountains. How could they issue the orders for the resistance fighters to implement the ceasefire? So one of the most important points in July 2006 was Hezbollah's telecommunications network, its own private network. When the July 2006 war ended, of course the Israelis live by war. I don't say there's war in 2010 or 2011. I say as long as we have Israel, whose nature is based and whose existence is based on war, when it ends one war, it begins to prepare for the next war, regardless of whether the next war is in 4 years, 5 years, or 10 years.
Now,
part of the preparations for Israel's next war, and God hope, let's not see a next war, but part of this plan is to work against the resistance, to kill the resistance's leaders, and to uncover its centers, its bases, its structure. And one of the means Israel is focusing on is the communications of Hezbollah. And so, you all know that, of course, leadership means continuation. And so, regardless, some of our colleagues say, Sayyid Hassan, you know, some things won't happen, don't call for it. But I am going to. I request here not to hold anyone accountable, not to hang anyone, not to punish anyone, but only for the political leadership in Lebanon to be cautious and to be vigilant, and for the political leaders in Lebanon to also be vigilant for the future. The issue of Hezbollah's communications, and you remember, on the 5th of May, 2008, a decision was taken by the Lebanese government to dismantle Hezbollah's telecommunications network. This was not a local decision. It was not a simple decision. They did not say that this decision or this telecommunications network of Hezbollah represents a threat to Lebanon's internal security. This is not the case. This is nonsense. And they can also not say that this telecommunications network takes a lot of the budget from the Lebanese budget. This is also nonsense because the budget is badly affected by a lot of other issues. So today, after what happened with the Alpha Telecommunications Network, I'd like to call on the Lebanese government to begin to go ahead with an investigation. I'd like to tell the Lebanese leaders, and some of them did say, yes, we, of course, we stood against your telecommunications network before, but they told us that this telecommunications network takes too much of the national budget. Whoever told them this is lying to them, is tricking them. The Lebanese government and these political leaders must look for the real responsible side for that decision which was taken. The responsible person who took, or the responsible side which took this decision, was Israel. Israel was the one behind the Lebanese government's decision in 2008 to dismantle Hezbollah's telecommunication network. At the same time, where you look for small spies, go and look for big spies. Let's uncover who was really involved with the Israelis directly and who got other people involved with him. Ministers or MPs, I'm not accusing anyone, I'm just saying, look behind the curtains, look who was in contact with Israel to take a decision against Hezbollah's telecommunications network, as what happened in May 2008. Shoaib Al-Azzi, he implemented, he was an employee in the telecommunications network. The other spy Tariq al-Rabah was also on the ground, but someone came and got the politicians involved. What I'm telling the politicians to do is go and see who got you involved, who's behind them, who's behind them. There might be three, four, five circles. see in the end who is behind this focus, the focus which occurred in 2008, the focus which we saw on Hezbollah's telecommunications network. I really wish that an investigation would be open, not to hold anyone accountable, but to be vigilant, because at that time in May 2008 we were on the brink of a civil war. And I'm afraid that if this specific side, or if these figures are still safe, if they are still working, if they are still collaborating with the Israelis, they could put Lebanon on the brink of a civil war also in the future, similar to what happened in May 2008. Now, the last point is the Alpha Telecommunications Network and Sherb al-Azzi, the spy in this network. Why was this spy arrested? I know I took a long time, but I have to continue. I hope it's not hot where you are like it's hot where I am. Why was the uncovering of this spy, why was it so important, the arrest of Sherb al-Azzi, why was it of such high magnitude? And unfortunately, many political factions ran and hurried to defend Sherb al-Azzi or what he did. Although there are many spies who are also very important, who were also arrested, who didn't receive such importance, whether they be military or civilian spies. More importantly, a campaign was launched, and a very, very strange campaign was launched against the Lebanese military and the Lebanese military intelligence regarding Sherb al-Azzi. A campaign was launched to belittle the importance of this spy and what he did. Some of our friends in the opposition gave analysis or assumptions, and others came and said, let's wait for the investigation. But they didn't wait for the investigation. Those who belittled the importance of the spy, they didn't wait for the investigation. They belittled the importance of the spy even before the investigation was complete. Why? Why was Sherb al-Azzi of such importance? Why did they launch a campaign against the Lebanese military because of Sherb al-Azzi? The only, if we can speak about honest, credible institutions in Lebanon which really helped Lebanon, it's the Lebanese army. That's something clear to everyone. The Lebanese army is the most credible institution in Lebanon. Why launch an attack on this institution because it arrested this spy? Or because some leaks were made? Some information was leaked from the investigation. We read a lot of these leaks, a lot of this information, and nobody spoke to the security services when information on other spies was leaked. Not because they're trying to distinguish between the army and the security services, no. Because Sherb al-Azzi is unique. This spy is unique. Why is he unique? My brothers and sisters and all those who are listening, the issue is that everything related to telecommunications leads to the International Tribunal for Rafiq Hariri, leads to the international investigation which the General Prosecutor Belmar is conducting. Of course, now is not the time, nor is it the occasion for me to speak about the international investigation or the international tribunal. I'm going to speak about it. I'm going to speak about it in a speech in the near future, actually. But we heard a lot from political officials in Lebanon and from security officials in Lebanon. We heard a lot that a decision will be made against individuals from Hezbollah. A decision will be made by the International Tribunal against individuals from Hezbollah. They preemptively know the decision. They preemptively know the names of the people, and they know the time when the verdict will be made. And all of the brothers who went to the investigation, they were listened to as witnesses and they were not investigated as suspects. I don't want to go into more details, but it seems the decision has already made. They're speaking preemptively. Until Ashkenazi came and opened his mouth, Ashkenazi spoke about the verdict which the International Tribunal will make in September, which will lead to internal tension in Lebanon. All of this summed up together with our experience in the past 2 months, if you add that to other developments in the region and in, we now have painted the whole picture, and the picture is clear. And in the near future, we'll take an appropriate stance, I believe, which will be announced at the appropriate time. Of course, I am the one who's going to announce this stance. I don't want to open the file of the International Tribunal now, but in relation to the Alpha Telecommunication Network and Shoaib Al-Azzi and the spies of the telecommunications sector, there are political factions in Lebanon, and there are also regional forces, especially Israel, regional countries, especially Israel, and international countries as well, international powers, who relied on internal divisions, first of all. This failed. They also relied on the July 2006 war. This failed. And they relied on the civil war, and they were preparing for a civil war, and this failed as well. And now, some of them are relying on a new type of war, a new war. I'm going to comment on this in August, in my August the 14th speech. Those who rely on a new war, I'll comment on that in detail on August the 14th. But what these people are now relying on, which is fabricated, which is created, which has been manufactured, is the verdict. They are now relying on the verdict of the International Tribunal of the Rafiq Hariri assassination. So they are waiting now. They are anticipating. They've been waiting for a long time. In 2008, they were waiting. In 2009, they were waiting. They were told 2010. Let's see what's going to happen in 2010. Although, how could the decision be prepared? How was the verdict prepared at the time where you're still calling on Hezbollah individuals as witnesses, not as suspects, as witnesses, to listen to their testimonies? If you listen to testimonies, that means your verdict is not ready. But according to what is said in Der Spiegel, in Le Figaro, in the Siyasi and Kuwaiti newspaper, these assumptions, what are they based on when they assume that Hezbollah individuals were involved in the Hariri assassination? These assumptions are based upon witnesses. Okay, where are these witnesses who are providing with such information? Or it's based on the telecommunications. Of course, we have an experience of false witnesses before, and they know false witnesses will not do anything, will not achieve any progress. So they're focusing on telecommunications and assumptions related to analyzing telecommunications and analyzing the phone calls at the time of the Hariri assassination in an attempt to manufacture a certain indictment against Hezbollah individuals. So this world, which is called the world of telecommunications, is a holy world for all those who are relying on the International Tribunal. Nobody should come towards the telecommunications issue. Because if we look at the telecommunications issue, and if we find spies in the telecommunications sector, and if we find that there are certain people who have a way to play around with the data and with the phone lines, what does this mean? It means that the cornerstone in the indictment or in the verdict which they are anticipating against Hezbollah and Hezbollah individuals in this new conspiracy, which is not just against Hezbollah but against the whole country, this means this has dashed away. It's doubtful. What do you base your information on? Do you base your information on a telecommunication network which is controlled by Israel? And so it was forbidden for anyone to even approach the telecommunications sector. The crime of the Lebanese military intelligence is that it arrested a spy in the telecommunications network. That's a big crime. That's why they launched a campaign against it. If we saw anyone, a mayor or a minister arrested, we wouldn't witness such controversy in the way we witnessed when Shirb Al-Azzi, the telecommunications employee, was arrested. Why? Because ministers or mayors or MPs haven't got anything to do with telecommunications, but Shirb Al-Azzi does. I want to ask a question here. A formal question, although I don't have a formal title, so I call on our MPs, Hezbollah's MPs, to ask this question. I'd like to ask a question to the Lebanese Prime Minister or to the Lebanese Minister of Interior, because the Minister of Interior is responsible for the internal security services in Lebanon. Before I ask this question, I appreciate highly what the intelligence, our Lebanese intelligence, did in uncovering the spies. This is something which we undoubtedly appreciate. But I have a question to ask. I'd like to ask the intelligence services and the internal security services, and I'd like the Minister of Interior to ask them this question. Did the intelligence have information about Shirb Al-Azzi's activities before he was arrested by the Lebanese Army Intelligence? Did they have information or not? This is a big question, not a small question. Nobody should take this question lightly, because they'll base assumptions on this question. Did the internal intelligence agencies have information about Shirb Al-Azzi's activities in the Alpha Telecommunications Network? And if they did have information, when did they have it? When did they first obtain this information? If they did, why didn't they take any measures? I'm not going to answer these questions now. I have my own answers, but I won't answer. I call on the Lebanese Minister of Interior, whose professionalism we appreciate and whose responsibility we appreciate. I'd like to call on him to ask this question. And I call on the Lebanese Prime Minister, Saad al-Hariri, whose father was killed in an assassination and who is first and foremost responsible for reaching the truth. I call on him to also ask the internal intelligence services this question. And we'll see what answers will be provided. Because based upon the answer, we'll also answer the answer. Anyway, I went very deeply into the matter. As much as the country can take, but in the end, when we have very important developments in the country, we all take responsibility. We are not people who run away from responsibility, nor are we people who run away from battlefield or confrontation. Your blood, beloved, for 30 years, your blood is witness today in the eyes of all those who are seeing you on the TV screens. Your blood is witness to our determination, to our will, to our solidarity, to our firm hold on righteousness, and to our readiness to confront any danger. And with this faith, with this determination, with this will, with this readiness to sacrifice, and with this vision, with this vigilance, with this sense of responsibility, no conspiracy will be able to defeat us or to defeat you, and no tornado will be able to destroy the resistance whose roots are deep in the ground, are deep in this territory, and our trunks are high in the air, in the skies, with the holiness, with the bless of your spirit, with the blessings of your spirit and the spirits of all people, of your brothers and sisters, all honorable, loving people in the world. We will not be defeated. One of the crowd now saluting Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah and the resistance. May God bless you. May God bless you on your day, the day of your sacrifices, the day of your reward, the day of your righteousness. May God bless you all. May God enable you to continue with your walk on the path of jihad, and may we achieve victory. May you all be rewarded in the aftermath. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.